I have eyed one or two over the years and going, I look pretty good in my house. Always looking for an extension cord here and there.
Yeah, I think my only real theft over the years of 20 years in traveling, I think early days, JR.
Yeah, robe?
No, it's never a big robe guy. Yeah. I just like to be in front of the mirror completely naked or in the window. Yeah, exactly. No, I stole an iron. I just, you know, an that was iron. One of the things as a single guy. You know, I just was like, you know, got to have that iron. It's just really working nicely.
How heavy does your luggage become? You've got an iron in there.
I think I was checking the bag, but I just, you know, made sure the water was out and just made the executive decision. You know what? This is a really nice piece here. Mm. I like what it's doing to my clothes, so it's got to be taken at home.
Is that back in the Caps days or the Relief days?
No, Caps days, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and was there a, you know, when the expense report was submitted, and then perhaps a follow-up from the hotel, the missing iron a month later. Any additional charges?
No.
David Poyle have anything to say?
No. I was Marriott Platinum level, so got a little thing there.
They
I
looked
said,
the other way?
No, I
stolen
said,
irons are fine?
No, I just said, obviously the staff stole it, so somebody was fired. But no big deal. I didn't worry about it. And in the case of the Leafs, they had so much money, JR. You just you sent your clothes out to get done.
Yeah. Or you just you wore them once and threw them away and just ordered new ones.
No. You didn't even, hey, that. This is, I'm not touching anything. I need a little press here. I'm sending this bad boy down just like Cliff does.
Hey? All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody, or welcome to it. 7:14 here on Ascends game day. Final one of the season. Taking on the Leafs tonight at note start time again. It's an 8 o'clock face-off here on TSN 1200. 6 o'clock will be our final pre-game show of the season. More on the game coming up in just a second, and we'll get into a discussion on the most pleasant surprise amongst the Ottawa Senators of this season. The NFL, there are people that will sit down, even in this country, but certainly in the U.S., there is a primetime special on NFL Network tonight as they release the schedule. The schedule will be released tonight at 8 o'clock, and people will be tuned to the NFL Network in this country, finding out when their favorite who and when their favorite teams will play for the upcoming season. And, of course, a lot of focus is always on the opening game of the season, which is on the Thursday night. It's like, clear the decks. The NFL is back, baby. It's the first Thursday after Labor Day. It's always the defending Super Bowl champion at home. And so in this case, it will be Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we already know the 8 teams that they will host this coming season. So I'll ask you guys, I'll go through the list of 8 teams. You tell me which. If the NFL wants a marquee game to kick off, I think the answer is pretty obvious. But their opponents when they play at home this season. Of course, they're 3 divisional opponents, Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans. Also, the Buffalo Bills, the Chicago Bears, the Dallas Cowboys, the Miami Dolphins, and the New York Football Giants.
Wow.
Those are the 8 opponents that will play in Tampa this year. The NFL always wants a marquee matchup for week one. Does it not say every day and twice on Sunday, Dallas Cowboys at Tampa Bay Buccaneers for opening night?
Yeah,
that would be a huge, huge number.
Yeah, as you went through a JR and the first kind of our team that peaked it, you know, with New Orleans without Drew Brees, forget it. You heard Buffalo and then you think, okay, but also recognize it is Buffalo. Yeah, absolutely. Dak Prescott back, kind of the matchup, the feel for sure to end up being that. So was it last year or 2 years ago? Wasn't there something recently where the Thursday night that the champion didn't host the game?
Yeah,
JR?
I think it was the Patriots a couple
years
ago.
Was it the Patriots?
Ago.
Okay, no. Yeah. But as far as Tom Brady and that, I would assume that, hey, that would be perfect. Bring in the old Dallas Cowboys and beauty weather would be fun.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we're talking about big opponents with huge fan bases. Yeah, the Bears and they've got Justin Fields.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't know that he's even going to play in week one.
Sure,
and if he doesn't play in week one, that diminishes that game. The New York Giants, hugely popular team, but
true.
They've been mostly terrible
for
the past several years. They should be a better team this year. But Dallas and Buffalo for sure. I mean, they may be arguably the best team in the AFC. Could be a Super Bowl preview again, crazily enough. But they're just not a marquee team any longer, the Buffalo Bills. So Dallas just jumps right out.
Yeah, and I think we saw last year when the Giants were terrible, there were still times where they did flex them in, understanding, as you said, hey, it still is New York. It's still very powerful. But I would think if you're the National Football League and even the excitement of a return to Dak Prescott, that would end up being the automatic. Now, you're the scheduling guru and you understand the whole process. For most fans, like based on your division and the other division and the added game, you know who you're playing, right? Is it more a question of when you're playing them? You know the basic.
You know your 17 opponents. Yeah, you've known them since the end of last season.
Okay. So it's just really, hey, how's the season going to lay out?
Yep.
What Thursday games am I going to have? When do we get Monday night football, Sunday night football? What? And I guess for the home people, it's more about your season tickets, right?
Well, and how much people love to travel. Apparently what happens, as soon as your favorite team's schedule is released,
people start
booking planes and booking hotels. I'm a Green Bay fan. They're playing in Arizona November the 22nd. And boom, I'm there. I got my weekend booked. I got my $59 flight down in the States. Okay. That's what they do. And in fact, some of them apparently book ahead of time because they your opponents, but you don't know what week you're going to play them. So what they do, some people will book a flight and a hotel for all 17 weeks of the season.
No way.
They've already done it, and then they'll cancel the 16 that don't coincide after the actual schedule comes out. You want to put some work into it?
Yeah.
You can already have her all cinched up.
Yeah, and there must be, JR, when you're looking through the markets, what's a softer market, right? Like for the Southern teams, in Arizona or somebody that doesn't sell out, Miami forever has been that team where you know you're going to get inventory, where other ones you couldn't end up getting it. And parallel to that, I think the Red Sox fans, I mean, that's a big thing dependent on your home team and the power of that and how expensive it can end up being. I mean, you could literally, versus going to a Red Sox game for a family of four, you could on Southwest Airlines fly to Baltimore, stay a weekend in a hotel, catch four Red Sox games, and it ended up being cheaper than going to a Red Sox game at home. So, you know, where you're going, how you're going, and you mentioned those flights. There's so many of those Southwest Airlines or other airlines that, hey, it's next to nothing. And the beauty of it is that the flexibility to book it, to cancel it, to travel at the last minute, makes it a whole lot of fun. But I was, the biggest shock for me always was going down to Florida, guys. I was always really surprised at that. That for historically has been a franchise that has really had a hard time based on kind of the transient population, based on the popularity of college football, really easy to get a Dolphins ticket.
Oh, yeah, Miami, yeah. Well, and they've been terrible for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But even when they were, you know, kind of the tail end of Dan Marino, you know, you would still see just a ton of fans. And Washington over the years has been the big shocker, right? Because forever at RFK and even at first at FedEx Field, you couldn't get a ticket. Well, now the transition that they've seen, it's been the reverse of the Capitals, right? Now the Capitals are sold out. It's all red and white and the red wave. Over at the Redskins, they get a ton of visiting fans now for their games.
Yeah, and that has to do, A, with everybody hates the owner, but B, I wonder, no longer the Redskins, football team now.
Oh, that's true.
When the football team was really good, you know, they were pretty good, pretty good. It was a bad division. Pretty good. They won the division title last year. They look like they're an ascending team, a good team. So, again, winning sometimes, we'll see what happens here in Ottawa as well, right? A lot of people had bad feelings about the team when fans were last allowed. Ottawa was last in attendance in the entire league. Now we put it out with the way, especially the way the season is finishing and how people are feeling about the team. And you go through your social media or whatever and, you know, I'm already waiting for the opening night. I'm there next year, next season for opening night. So winning will replace a lot of bad feelings.
Yeah, and even here in Ottawa, JR, when you had that three-year kind of window after 2017 winning, kicked off with Dion Phaneuf not waving, Mathot left, and then all of a sudden it was on and off the ice crazy. Well, you go back to last season as well, by design, hell of a draft and getting Stutzle, getting Sanderson. Most of it was good news. Most of it has been quiet on any other front. And again, most of this year is part of the plan. So you're really a couple of years here from an auto perspective where, and look at this Timmy Stutzle story and throwing the hats in the yard, turned into a local to a national to an international story. You know, most of it is. There's lots of fans still. Hey, so lots of stuff you'll see, the Melnick out or other stuff like that. But generally, yeah, I think there's been a lot of goodwill built up. And most people are just focused on what is a very promising and a very good young hockey team here in Ottawa.
Which will wrap up its season tonight. They began with a game against the Maple Leafs, a win, and they will finish tonight, they hope, with a win as well. Here's Josh Norris saying the Leafs are the perfect way to wrap up the season.
We've played them really well all year, and you know, I think we just enjoy playing against them. And I've said it before, we just match up well and we play hard. And they're obviously a really skilled team, and you know, they're going to make a run for the cup. So it's you know, it's still a good test for us. You know, it's not a throwaway game. I think we can still get a lot out of it. And yeah, just be dialed in for one more game. It's, you know, three more periods for each of us, and then we get to go home and you know recover and regenerate. But I think we're just excited to, you know, kind of get you know, shut it down tomorrow night.
There you go. Leafs, by the way, have won 5 of the 8 games so far this season, but if when you think back when the season wraps up, 56 games of the most memorable games this season yeah. for the Sens, I have to think that down 5-1, win 6-5 in overtime, the daddy with one of his rare positive plays this year, Evgeny Dadonov with the game winner. That for a lot of people, may be the most memorable game when it's all said and done.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also the Friday night, JR, the feeling of, and I was sitting watching the game, it was a feeling of winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, the excitement of the team after opening night, and also remembering back to that game and how crazy it was, and that was still when they were in the embarrassment zone for the most part. You're kind of looking at this saying, oh no, here we go again. It was a little bit of, outside of his play, was old Zooby Dooby Doo. That was a coming out party on that breakaway he had, right? Where that wasn't just a breakaway. That was a good old, okay, maybe we can see him in the shootout. So, no, I agree. Now, from a Leafs perspective, say what you want, and saw Sheldon Keefe, and you talk everybody, and they want to play. They're getting ready for the playoffs. I mean, outside of trying to fine-tune Freddie Anderson, they cannot get said ice hockey match over fast enough in the next couple of games and basically get prepped for what will be, as I said, a lot of pressure on this Leafs team here. Expectations, I can't think of the last time, probably back to the Doug Gilmore days, maybe Sundin to some extent. It's been a long time since there's been these expectations on the Toronto Maple Leafs come playoff time.
Well, again, they haven't won a playoff series since they beat Ottawa in 2004. Think about that for a second.
Yeah,
it's been 21 years since they've won a round in the playoffs. Not since they've been to the final or won a cup. 21 years since they've won a playoff round.
Yeah.
So let's not get too ahead of ourselves on the Maple Leafs, talking about going to championships and winning championships.
No,
let's take this one step at a time. Win a round first, and then we can start that conversation.
And to the baggage of previous, I don't see a ton in a JR, but what I do see, hey, for this existing group, you had a couple, and the first time you lose to Boston, no big deal. That's okay. Part of the learning. Now, you get embarrassed when you were up in that game, you lose in the third period, but then the next one, not good. Then you get to last year, and you have losing to Columbus. Yeah, it's not a good look. That baggage on this group here is the added pressure. What's happened way in the past into the franchise, into the hype. I guess a little different with no fans in it, but I think they're right there with, I'm going to say, in the National Hockey League. I'm not trying to say that because we're an auto radio. I do think that they have the most pressure where anything short of the Final Four for this year, I mean, when you've watched Winnipeg down the stretch, I know Edmonton has Connor McDavid. You've watched Montreal down the stretch. There's no excuses. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs flat out should win this division.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is a failure
if
they do not win two rounds this year. An absolute failure.
Yeah, totally.
All bets
agree.
Are off once you get to a Final Four. There's some super strong teams this year. If everybody gets through, it's going to be tough. Colorado, Vegas, Tampa, Carolina this year. I mean, there's some real, real good teams.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is not a murderer's row to get through the Canadian division.
No,
it's about as soft a touch as you could find, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But you got to play the games and you got to win the games.
Yeah.
For Ottawa, of course, as we talked about yesterday, no Matt Murray. So they had hoped that he would be able to get this game in, just not healthy enough. So Filip Gustavsson is going to play in the game tonight. And maybe of more interest to fans, we're going to get a look at, well, I won't say two new players. One new player will make his NHL debut, and that's Parker Kelly, who Troy Mann said yesterday when he was on In the Box, said every guy that plays, every coach that gets a chance to coach him absolutely loves him. And he talked about him, that he'll be an NHL player. Huh. He is a little energy buzzsaw, so we'll see him in his NHL debut tonight, so that's great for him. And I think of more interest, I think, is Logan Brown, who's going to make his season debut tonight. Here's DJ Smith on what Logan Brown needs to do to play in the NHL.
Pace, the NHL pace, the stopping, the starting, the grind, of playing in your own zone and then getting, up into the play. For a big guy, it takes a lot longer, certainly. And unfortunately, he got hurt this year. We would have seen this, earlier. It's a small sample size, and we know he has big time ability, especially on the power play and with the puck. So he just has to prove, not only to us, to everyone else, that he's an everyday NHL player.
There you go. So that is DJ Smith talking about more bigger picture, Logan Brown stuff.
Do
you think the Sens in any way are basing any offseason decisions on his future with the team, be it to keep him, trade him, protect him in the expansion draft, not based on the one game he'll play tonight?
I sure hope not, JR, and I really don't feel that they are. I know on Friday night it was talked about that he looked really good. I know it's 10 days ago, and he even talked to Jeff Jackson a little bit yesterday about it.
That's his agent.
Yeah, I don't expect a whole lot. I only watched him 10 days ago on TV. But I'll tell you what, everything DJ Smith outlined right there was what he couldn't do at the American League level. He was really struggling. He looked like a young, I don't care if he's big, small, he looked like a guy that hadn't played, where the pace was one speed. He had no strength on the puck. He was turning it over. But I don't fault him. He's missed a whole year of hockey, JR. What I look at this, and as I said, I'm not evaluating anything. I hope he does well tonight. I don't expect anything. But what I'm kind of looking at, and this is behind the scenes, if they've said to Logan Brown, listen, man, we're not giving up on you. You know what? We know you've had a struggle here. We want to bring you in for the final game of the year and come be with the group. Come be with Brady Tkachuk and the boys and say, hey, listen, we finished off. You played one NHL game. Now let's get to work in the offseason. Let's get back to training camp. If that's what's going on behind the scenes, because we can't say this is a reward in the sense of, I know he's put up some points, but he you know, again, he struggled. But if that's what you're doing, you know, good on the Ottawa Senators. And if you're a fan, just my feeling is, you know, don't get negative. If this is what they want to do to give him a game, so be it. But no, I don't think there's any evaluation based on this. If I was a Sens fan, and this is my own personal, I've said, hey, I'd stay the course with the guy. If you're going to flip him off in the offseason, I don't know why you're playing him tonight. So this, to me, marks that they're saying, listen, you know what, we're going to stay with you, bud. We still want something here. And no, we're not going to all of a sudden in the offseason just flip you out. Now, the protection part of this would, JR, to be quite honest with you, this, my gut feeling is they're going to protect him and say, hey, we're going to stay the course here with the asset. That's just my gut feeling. Otherwise, it would just be easy to finish the season with the AHL and just flip you out to another team.
Yeah. And again, to reiterate, Ottawa has zero protection issues up front at forward. They've got four guys that they're going to protect, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
And Brady Tkachuk, Drake Batherson, Connor Brown, and Nick Paul. Those are the easy ones. After they still have three more spots that you can go a million different directions. So if they want to keep Logan Brown and they want to protect him in the draft, it's a very easy thing to do and give him another shot next season.
Yeah.
This will be – he's drafted in 2016. Next season will be kicking off the 2021-2022 season.
Yeah.
We're now 6 years in to this Logan Brown experiment, which is – again, it's been spinning its wheels here for a long time. Some of it has been misfortune due to injury, but some of it is due, you know, at some point you got to do it. You got to break through and you got to do it.
Yeah.
We can't just fall back on excuses.
No, and this is the part. You never heard, and I'll use a couple of players as an example, JR. You didn't hear Coach Mann or Coach Smith or when it was back to Boucher to anybody else. Every time Nick Paul got waived, they weren't calling and saying, hey, how's Nick Paul doing? Well, Nick Paul got waived. Nobody cared because now he was part of the Jason Spezza trade, but it was just an afterthought. Well, he weren't worked down. They said, listen, we're not going to flip you out. Every other team could have had him. He's on waivers. I mean, the other one would have been Mike Hoffman back in the day. Every time he got sent down, they weren't like, oh, hey, how's Hoff doing? Nobody cared. At some point, I also say, hey, nobody cares at this point what's happened with Logan Brown, but as an organization, I don't care if he's a 15th pick overall. I don't care if he's the 15,000. He is an asset in your organization right now, and you just stay the course with the player the same way you did. Some dumb luck with Paul and Hoffman, but it's the same thing. Nick Paul took a long time to figure it out, and he was part of a big trade in Jason Spezza, and as I said, a little bit of dumb luck that he was on waivers, but they stayed the course with him, and they've ended up with an NHL player, and I would recommend doing that with Logan Brown.
Speaking of Nick Paul, by the way, he was on with the boys yesterday on the drive. It was a great interview. Nick Paul is a really, really, not only well thought of guy, but just he's just got some interesting things to say.
Yeah, for sure.
If you missed it, you want to find it, you can find it on our website at tsn1200.ca. So from the, negativity of Logan Brown, however you want to stress it, there have been more positives than negatives about the 2020-2021. Let's just call it 2021. There was no 2020 Ottawa Senators. The 2021 Ottawa Senators. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Who was the most pleasant surprise for the Senators this season? Who was the most pleasant surprise for the Ottawa Senators this season? And we've got four options for you. Josh Norris, Artem Zub, Philip Gustafson, Connor Brown. Those are your four options. Now, how you choose to define pleasant surprise, whether that's to expectation, from where they were at the start to where they finished at the end. I will let you define that. We couldn't really come up with the wording that sort of covered off everything we wanted to do, so we'll let you define that. However you define it, and maybe you can tell us how you define pleasant surprise. What's your vote? Who is the most pleasant surprise for the Sens this year, Norris, Zub, Gustafson, or Connor Brown? Simmer.
You know what? Connor Brown, JR, we joked about, but at least he's had a 20-goal sample size. So finishing off, I'll put him fourth. Great argument on all of them. Norris I saw trending, maybe not this fast. So Gus the bus, small sample size has been good. But hands down, guys, for me, how hard it is, first of all, to find free agent players in Mr. Zub, the old Ottawa Senators back in the day, not wanting to have any Russian players on the team. For a guy like this to come over and you look at his stats, understand he could have signed with any other NHL team, chose Ottawa. Fact that he sat there and fine-tuned his skills for the first 10 games of the National Hockey League season, from that first night I saw him, JR, I was like, wow. And that has not stopped from start to finish. This guy has been by far the best Ottawa Senators defender. Anybody from Mr. Riley to Mr. Branstrom has been a better player when they played with him. So I'm going with Mr. Zub. What about you?
So when you, how do you define our question, pleasant surprise?
Yeah.
So are you doing expectation, like what you thought, you know, Zub, or you had zero thoughts of him and what he's turned out to be?
I had zero thoughts. Right. And just an appreciation that it's not a college free agent. You go back to Panarin, who's certainly a star and was a free agent player, but just generally, like, how many times have we seen, not just with Ottawa, but a player, hey, he signed, he wasn't drafted, what age he's at? It's hard to find that. You have brought in, and I'll say this, and I was thinking of it, and then I joked with Mark Mathod a couple of months ago. I said he reminds me of Mark Mathod. Mark said, wow, not as big, maybe doesn't skate as well, not as good looking. I'm gonna ask you, this is my personal opinion. I think Artem Zub is as good as Mark Mathod. And I would ask you as to what part of the game that he would struggle at, that if I put Artem Zub with Erik Karlsson in the prime of his career, I think he would have the same results. That's my own personal opinion. And as I said, maybe not as, you know, smooth and as big, but this guy is so bloody effective at defending. It really takes me back to what Mark provided. So that's why I'm going with Mr. Zub.
All right, Hammer, most pleasant surprise for the Sens this season, Norris, Zub, Gustafson, Brown.
Yeah, my decision into this is based on expectations heading into the season and really wondering where this team would be without them. And I can't imagine what the Senators' blue line would be right now without Artem Zub, because he didn't start the season with the team. He came in, six games in, and really solidified that second pairing with Mike Riley. And if he wasn't there, I really question how hard this team would have struggled in their own end. An absolute surprise in a player like Artem Zub. So Artem Zub, for me, is the pleasant surprise of the season.
All right, I'll go through it for me one by one. And I'll say for me, I define my pleasant surprise is from what we saw at the start to what I thought we would see at the end. That's how I'm defining my answer. Okay. And coming up with my answer. So the Connor Brown we saw at the start of the year to the Connor Brown at the end of the year, and whether he's on a heater or not, doesn't matter. 20 goals is 20 goals. He's been excellent, but he doesn't get my vote. Philip Gustafson, I had zero. Like, I didn't even think Philip Gustafson was in the mix based on last year at all. Like, I, in my mind, had already dismissed him as another goalie that falls off the radar. There's a million of them. Yeah. Didn't work out. Too bad, so sad. But he's been, to me, it's a no doubter. He's the guy you protect in the expansion draft.
Yeah.
But I didn't vote for him either.
Okay.
Artem Zub, I agree with everything you guys said about him. Yeah. He has been from start to finish, Ottawa's most effective defenseman. Yeah. I agree with that argument. He has been steady the entire way through. But for me, my answer is Josh Norris. Because the Josh Norris we saw at the beginning of the year, first of all, we're talking about a first year NHL player, second year pro. Hardly played any hockey 2 years ago at all. So had a really good year last year in the American Hockey League, Rookie of the Year. Comes up to Ottawa this year, started off the year decently. I thought that, man, especially in the Canadian division, right, all the center icemen, he is going to eventually get eaten alive, and he's going to tire out, and it's just not, and we're going to see a player, not that he won't be, a good hockey player, but we're going to see a guy that fades as the season goes on. And instead, for me, he's gotten better as the season goes on and has now solidified himself as, I don't know if he's your prototypical number one center for, what you hope is a Stanley Cup, contending team. He's not going to be a 100-point guy, doesn't look like, in the NHL. But what he is He is just a hell of a hockey player. And I think he's gotten better and better as the season has gone on. So for me, I define pleasant surprise of how they started to where they are now, and he's just gotten better and better. So my vote would be for Josh Norris.
Yeah, and hey, no disagreement, and kind of going through all of them, JR, outside of, I said, Connor Brown, just because he's had a 20-goal season, yeah, it has been great. And on the Norris side, the fact of coming into the year, you kind of wondered about center ice. And again, unless you're getting Eichel, getting McDavid, getting Crosby, you're always going to have that argument, right? Is that the guy? I would hope, and again, I know the comparison, I think it's thrown out way too much, but I would hope in some sample size down the road that Norris and Pinto could be somewhat comparable. I'm not going to go Patrice Bergeron and Pinto yet, but it can be a poor man's. But in the case of Norris, can end up being like a guy like David Krejci. I watched David play in the American Hockey League when he came through and needed to put on some strength and some weight, and Norris is actually ahead of him. But as a 1-2 combination down the road, as I said, not going to be McDavid, not going to be like the superstar, but I think they're going to be enough if supported, if surrounded with the Stutzlas and Bathursons, Kachucks, maybe somebody else. I think you're going to have a hell of a top six if you're an Ottawa Senators fan.
So there you go. We want to get to your votes. Who has been the most pleasant surprise for the Sens this season? However you define pleasant surprise. Norris, Zub, Gustafson, Connor Brown. Let us know what you think. Go to our website, tsn1200.ca. Just scroll down the right-hand side. You'll find our tool and equipment store web poll question ready for your vote throughout the day today. All right, we'll take a break. Don't forget, Sens and the Leafs tonight. It's an 8 o'clock start. Note the start time, 6 o'clock pregame show, as the Sens will wrap up their regular season and their season. A couple of notes quickly on Artem Zub. He announced yesterday he is going to play for Russia at the World Hockey Championship. So he is the first senator to absolutely confirm that he's going to play. Nikita Zaitsev apparently will decide today whether he's going to play for Russia as well. So we could see two Sens on the Russian blue line. Josh Norris, we don't. Brady Tkachuk said basically yesterday, he said no, he's not going to play based on his contract, etc., for Team USA. Josh Norris will have to wait on in terms of him with Team USA. I read yesterday, and I think it was Chris Peters, the prospect guy that we talked to last week, really plugged into USA hockey. Apparently, Jake Sanderson is going to play for Team USA at the World Championships, which would be just pretty cool. I mean, we're talking about a bunch of different Ottawa Senator players who could play. Talking about their best prospect now could be playing. I don't have that 100%, just read it, and I think Chris is the guy that put it out there, so we'll have to wait and see. Nothing confirmed, but maybe Jake Sanderson playing for Team USA and maybe a couple of other Ottawa Senators as well. And then, of course, we've got the whole Team Canada angle with Connor Brown, with Nick Paul, with Drake Batherson, and maybe based on injury on Thomas Chabot as well. So we could be looking at, for World Men's Hockey Championship, 6, 7, 8, 9 Ottawa Senators heading over to Riga, Latvia for the tournament that starts at the end of next week. And don't forget, TSN 1200 will be your home of the World Hockey Championships. Team Canada's first game is a week from Friday. Okay, we'll take a break. 7:40 still to come. Our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. That'll come just before 8 o'clock. If you'd like the chance to win $1,000 cash, I'm guessing there's maybe more than one of you out there that would like to do that. Stand by. Your cue to text is on the way. Pierre McGuire will join us after 8. We'll set up Sens and Leafs with him as we continue along here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. It is. Welcome back. 7:47 on this final Sens game day of the 2021 season. We'll take on the Maple Leafs tonight at 8 o'clock. 6 o'clock will be our pregame show. Philip Gustafson in net. Parker Kelly's NHL debut and Logan Brown's season debut. And actually, they'll skate on the same line with Alex Formanton. So some guys, all three guys, spent some time earlier this year with the Belleville Senators. So there'll be some familiarity as well. So looking forward to seeing and hearing about their game tonight.
Are they projecting Mr. Kelly to be a winger, JR? Is that kind of the theory? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder
for
next year, even looking at a crash line with Watson, with a Kelly, maybe somebody else. And for Mr. Formanton, very interested to see where kind of things go for him. You saw the flashes, saw the great goal a couple of games ago, and you also see a guy that has a great legs, real good penalty killer, not afraid to get involved. But I do hope some of the hockey sense and ability, like in the sandbox as a kid, ability to play with others, I hope will improve as he kind of moves along.
Okay, it was 2 years ago today. Let's think back, kids. There were crowds. There were people at games. Mm-hmm. Remember those days? May the 12th, 2019. It was a Sunday. You're probably at home. It was a Sunday night. You're probably at home because it was a Game 7. You think to yourself, it's nothing better than a Game 7, especially when it's a team you care about. And this time, this team, if maybe you hadn't cared about them so much, mostly beforehand, you probably cared about them by now. It was Game 7 between the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. This is the Eastern Conference semifinal in the NBA playoffs. Let's take it to the dying seconds. Tie game, Raptors and Sixers.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
There you go. There's the legendary Kevin Harlan with the call of Kawhi Leonard's four bounces on the rim before it falls in. Game winner to give the Raptors a Game 7 win over the Sixers in what would eventually propel them to their first NBA championship a couple of rounds later. An incredible moment. One of the greatest moments, I think, in Canadian sports history. I heard, Jim Treleving, the Boston Pizza guy who's on Dragon's Den forever.
Yeah, Brad's dad.
Yeah, he wrapped up. I guess he's done with Dragon's Den now. So I saw a wrap-up interview with him on CBC a few weeks ago. And we all remember the iconic picture of that game-winning shot where Kawhi Leonard, he's released the ball. The ball is bouncing on the rim. He's kind of crouched down. He's got his Raptor teammate there, right, that's kind of leaning over. And then it's all the faces in the crowd, mm-hmm. right? And those are, the primo seats. Well, the one very recognizable face that's in the crowd is Jim Treleving.
Oh, okay.
He is sitting there. And he has this really weird look on his face.
Okay.
Everybody else is like, their mouths are agape, and they're like, what's going to happen? And Jim Treleving has this look on his face of he's troubled. It's unlike anybody else's face that you can make out in the picture. And he was asked about that. And I've always thought about it. He was asked, and it was Ian Hanna-Mansing that did the interview. He goes, like, what was going through your mind then? And he said, I didn't know the rule. He thought that the ball had to go through the basket before the buzzer went off.
Oh, geez,
so he thought when Kawhi Leonard let the ball go, it was in the air, then the buzzer goes off. Before it even bounces on the rim, he's like, well, it's not going to count.
Oh, okay.
He didn't think he got it off in time. And then lo and behold, of course, it takes the four bounces, falls in, and the rest, as they say, is history. That was 2 years ago today.
Yeah, and absolutely incredible, JR, as he said, from a Canadian sports moment watching that. Now, they did eliminate Orlando in the first round, but it was still at the time where you thought, you know what, is this franchise going to be able to get over the hump? They win that. You go to the next round, down 2-0 against Milwaukee. Yeah, going to be over. They find their way, and you go back to that playoffs, you go back to the parade, you go back to Kawhi. I think really cool, but it also, to me, and this is a little bit with Mark Messier when he's with the New York Rangers and how winning a championship, it's amazing on a guy like Kyle Lowry, who years ago, even more than DeMar DeRozan, I thought, you know what, big game, forget it. Forget this guy. Get rid of him. It's incredible, JR, what winning a championship, that run, how he is now talking about a number retired, talking about statues. You know what I mean? Like he has transformed into an iconic person because of that championship. So, hey, it was a hell of a run. We all loved it and certainly culminated with that crazy parade at the end. But that was, like you say, it was a really, real cool moment in Canadian sports history.
Maybe I'm only speaking personally, but through that entire run, which ended in the championship, what's the one moment that there isn't a defining moment than Kevin Durant maybe blowing out his knee?
No, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
The defining moment of that entire playoff run for the Raptors was Kawhi Leonard's winner in Game 7.
Yeah, it was. And then even being down 2-0 against Milwaukee, my next memory is Freddie Van Vliet having a child and then going off in the series. And then when you got to Golden State was, okay, KD comes back, the controversy of the fans cheering when he blows out his Achilles. Then the next one is Klay Thompson. Then I was it that Boogie guy was on the team as well.
Boogie
like all of a sudden they were running out of the players to the point where then you saw, okay, now you're going to end up winning here. So you're right. It was almost anticlimactic. And then the next controversy when you always think about that was Masai Ujiri kind of trying to get on the floor for the championship. So you're right. It is right there with Joe Carter and a lot of other, like you said, just really, really cool moments, not to mention the pitcher is absolutely incredible.
Should coincidentally, Kawhi and the Clippers took on the Raptors last night and beat them. 115-96 as the Raptors are limping toward the end of their season. Okay, 753 on our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question today. who has been the most pleasant surprise for the Sens this year? We gave you four options. This comes in on text at 12-1200. The biggest surprise is that we're even having a four-player debate when there's even others that we could add to the list. And yeah, if you're an Ottawa Senator fan, that's maybe the biggest news of all. Because how many years, over the, especially in the past 3 or 4 years, could we have a debate about who's been the most pleasant surprise this year,
for sure,
where you had four players to choose from?
Yeah.
You know, some years it was maybe only it was one or two.
Yeah.
The fact it was four and you could have added a couple more is maybe the most pleasant surprise to the Texans.
No, I agree. I mean, Decord coming along, JR, not that Forsberg would register, but for a lot of fans, they're bullish on Brännström. Mete being picked up on waivers. You go up front, kind of continue along with the Nick Paul story. Mr. Pinto coming in late in the season. You can digress, too. There's certainly some players on the roster that have not been good, but no, overall, speaks to the excitement of the fan base and also speaks to how much homegrown talent has come through the system and how quickly a lot of these guys have fast-tracked to the point where you do start to watch games and you look at it as a three-man unit and say, hey, when you see Batherson, Norris, and Tkachuk, you really look at that and say, again, not McDavid, but you say, well, okay, we got a foundation here as these guys mature that should be a very good and very dominant first line in the National Hockey League.
Unsigned writes on text at 12-1200. Again, when you text us, standard messaging rates apply. My question is, can you win a Stanley Cup without having a superstar center or a top of the league player or two? That comes from Unsigned. I will merely say that a couple of years ago, the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup with the center ice of Ryan O'Reilly and Braden Schenn, right?
Yeah,
they would have been their top
sure.
two.
Yeah.
And Ryan O'Reilly was Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He was the MVP. He was out of this world.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody looks at Ryan O'Reilly and if we think about superstars, we always think about points, right?
Yeah,
we think about guys that get 100 points that can score at will. That's not Ryan O'Reilly. But what he is and how he played in that playoff was a tremendous two-way player. And so I will use the St. Louis Blues as an example of a team that has won a Stanley Cup that hasn't necessarily had super. They're excellent players.
Yeah.
I'll even say star players, but not superstars, that did go on to win a championship.
Yeah, and I know what Tampa Bay, JR, where they've elevated to, but they won without Stamkos now, Point, and other guys come in. They're still very good. You look at Cirelli, how he ended up performing. So it's kind of expectations internally. St. Louis, they grinded it out. What I didn't think for them was sustainable. They've also made some changes in their lineup where they've weakened it. But I think Ottawa down the road is a 1-2 punch with Norris and a Pinto. But I'll also say where Brady Tkachuk is able to go is going to be a very special player. Still on the, I still think Thomas Chabot is the same thing. Add in Stützle and his star potential. And I know Backstrom and Kuznetsov put up really nice points and Backstrom in his career, but you also look at a combination like that. So it's all about depth. It's all about support. Again, it's not your traditional Malkin Crosby, but I think for what Ottawa is going to set up between Pinto and Norris, if you surround it properly, have the depth, have the up and down lineup, I think you're certainly going to give yourself a chance.
Put the question to Pierre McGuire when he joins us coming up just after 8 o'clock. But up next, it is our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. I got 10 questions. You've got 60 seconds. If you can go 10 for 10, we're going to give you $1,000 in cash. We'll come back and play the contest next. Lucky texter number... Let's go into the hundreds. I'm going to count really, really, really fast. 111. That'll give everybody a chance. For those of you listening on the iHeartRadio app or through your smart speaker, texter number 111 right now at 12-1200. All right, standard messaging rates apply. We'll play our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. We'll do that when we return on TSN 1200. Buddy, it's 8 o'clock on the dot, and lucky texter number 111 is Clint. How are you doing this morning, Clint?
Hey, guys, I'm doing great.
How excellent. You excited for the contest?
Very much so.
When you play the home version, how often do you go 10 for 10?
Never. I've done 9 a couple times, but never a 10.
Okay. All right. Let's see if today's the day. Hammer feels very confident that you could win $1,000 based on the caliber of the question. So, fingers crossed. Okay. Here's the way the contest works. Clint, I got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10, you win $1,000. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. I need all of your answers in before the buzzer goes. At 60 seconds, I got to accept your first answer only. If you don't want to answer right away, you can pass. If we have time, we'll circle back to the question. Okay?
Yeah.
Know the rules. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Clint, we wish you good luck, my friend. Three, two, one, go. Ottawa's first game this season was against the Leafs. Did they win or lose?
Win.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers play in the NFC South. Name another team in their division.
Panthers.
Name any American-based team with fewer points than the Sens.
New Jersey.
Kawhi Leonard's dramatic Game 7 winner for the Raptors came against the Celtics or the Sixers?
Sixers.
Which NHL team did Freddie Anderson play for before the Leafs?
St. Louis.
Where did the Sens farm team play before Belleville?
Bingo.
Name any guaranteed first-round NHL matchup.
Toronto and Montreal.
Which NBA team did Patrick Ewing spend 15 seasons with?
The Knicks.
True or false, this year's World Men's Hockey Championship will be played in Canada.
False.
DJ Smith played 45 NHL games. Yes or no, did he score a goal?
Yes.
Okay, got all the answers? You got 10 answers there.
Terrible.
What?
I think I missed out.
Oh, let's find out. Let's see how you did. Okay, Ottawa's first game of the season against the Leafs. Did they win or lose? They won. The Buccaneers play in the South. They play with the Panthers. You're right. Also with the Saints and the Falcons. Name any American-based team with fewer points than the Sens. Jersey is one. Buffalo, Anaheim, Columbus, and Detroit as well. Kawhi Leonard's Game 7 winner came against the Sixers. Which NHL team did Freddie Anderson play for before the Leafs? It was not St. Louis. It was Anaheim. Anaheim. Sens farm team was in, I accepted bingo. Name any guaranteed first-round NHL matchup. Now, we say got to accept your first answer. You didn't complete your answer, so I will accept Toronto-Montreal. So you got that one right. Patrick Ewing spent 15 years with the Knicks. True or false, this year's World Men's Hockey Championship played in Canada. You said false. That's right. It's in Latvia. DJ Smith played 45 NHL games. Did he, yes or no, did he get a goal? The answer is yes. Got that one right. Add it all up.
Oh, she was close. $90.
Oh, man. Clint, are you ever going to forget that Freddie Anderson played for the Anaheim Ducks before he played for the Leafs?
I said Freddie Anderson more.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Listen, $90 is pretty good, my friend. Congratulations on that. Spend it wisely. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
All right. Take care. There he goes. Another happy customer. Simmer, did you go 9 for 10?
Yeah, and he ended up going 10 for 11 when he said we were the best. do you remember who Freddie Anderson was originally drafted by, Jer?
He was drafted by, Calgary?
Carolina.
Carolina, yes.
Craig Anderson was the Calgary to Chicago, but him and his agent decided, you know what, too many goaltenders in Carolina and decided to go to Anaheim, so it's pretty good. But, no, I was kind of, you know, like Hammer said, I thought all of them were pretty good that he'd have a chance, but not many people remember what gave up a pick for him and gave him that 5x5 right away, right, mm-hmm. Leafs? So
yep.
Been a pretty smart move overall. Hasn't gotten them to the promised land playoff-wise, but for the contract and for everything else, that's a good move. And I think he'll go out of Toronto unless they go on a long run. If I'm a team, I'd sign him, JR. I do think outside of the pressure in Toronto that he could really excel.
We'll see Freddie Anderson tonight in Leafs Twine Tent as they'll take on the Sens. Again, 8 o'clock start time, 6 o'clock pregame show here on TSN 1200. We'll talk about it with Pierre McGuire when he joins us in about 7 minutes or so. Coming up, the latest news from 580 CFRA. We'll run down the scoreboard. The Canadian division matchups are now set. It will be Toronto, Montreal, and Winnipeg and Edmonton after the events of last night. So we'll get into all of it with Pierre McGuire coming up. We're glad you're with us here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.